Okay, so that's it for questions in Ask Catherine. Let's turn to our presentation of the evening. And this is one that I am going to really enjoy. It's called Salieri Report 101, and it's an introduction to the archives. We've been having lunches. I've had lunches now in Vienna and Kalispell and Tucson, Austin, San Jose. I tried to have one in Lisbon. And Cincinnati's coming up in June. We've had a lot of feedback and conversations from subscribers and feedback from customer service questions, emails. What I'm discovering is that a new subscriber finds a rich archive and doesn't quite know where to start because there's a lot of material. So my goal tonight is to walk you through the archive and all the resources that are available, so to give you ideas about what's most useful for you. The Salieri Report tagline is building personal and family wealth, and I want to organize it sort of around what that means. Our goal in the Salieri Report, my goal is that we will help our subscribers increase the equity on your balance sheet. Now, what do I mean by the equity on your balance sheet? I mean the value of all of your assets minus your liabilities. But there are some unique aspects to the Salieri approach about doing that, and let me just describe what they are. It's really four things. One is our definition of equity does not just include the traditional things that a CPA or an accountant would put on your balance sheet. So we're not just interested in your financial equity. We're interested in the living equity that ultimately is the source of your financial equity, your knowledge, your health, your family, your network. We believe in a very integrated approach to equity and aligning financial equity with living equity, because in the long run, they have to be aligned to really build true wealth. The second thing is we believe that the best way to build equity is in a way where we're all about the business of helping each other increase our equity. What's happening in the financial system is people are making money in a way that destroys the equity or the wealth of other people. So you have a win-lose model going on, even a lose-lose model. And we believe that if you play in a win-win way, that over time, if people know that and understand that, you will attract the highest quality people and players. Now, it's essential in that model that you're able to protect yourself from being drained by the people who play win-lose. And one of the things we spend a lot of time on the Salieri Report doing is helping you understand who those players may be and how to get them out of your life and every aspect of your balance sheet and income statement. But essentially, to me, the way to reinvent the financial system is one person and one family at a time. It's kind of the just do it method. So each of us acting this way gathers tremendous power. And in this environment, I am essentially more interested in you building power as building financial wealth, because without power, all your financial assets can be stolen and drained. So it's absolutely essential that we be building power and financial wealth that builds power. The third thing is that we look at the dark side of life much, much more than any investment advisors I know or people dealing with building financial assets. There's a real reluctance to look at the dark side for a variety of reasons. One is, you know, it can increase risk for the person bringing the illumination. But the other is, I think that many investment advisors have not taken the time, and it's very time-consuming, to sit down and really study and look at the dark side. So you have lots of websites who are railing on and on about the corruption, but they're often pushing a particular agenda or solution. You know, so many websites that have been promoting for years, oh, it's about to collapse, it's about to collapse. And, of course, Catherine says, no, it's not going to collapse, it's going to slow burn. And I think part of the reason I do that is I have a map that includes a much more detailed research and personal experience in understanding the dark side. Now, what's the advantage of looking at the dark side? The biggest advantage of looking at the dark side is the power of creating a new story. I had a wonderful subscriber, as a dear friend, who, after listening to Adam Trombley talk about entrainment technology and subliminal programming, which is about as dark as a subject as you can get, and then listening to Bill Tiller talk about the power of intention, and Adam Trombley again talking about free energy technology, she wrote me this lovely letter and said, "Oh my God, I realized why things are stuck now because of, you know, all these dark things going on, the entrainment, the subliminal, the brainwashing." And then I realized, given what the power we have to, you know, to basically impact our material reality through our intention and what we can do with new technology, I went to sleep, I had a dream, and I had a vision of what the world could be. And I understood what you were saying about how it is possible to create a world of just unbelievable abundance and health, you know, healthy living. And she said, "I get it now, I get it." And she said, "No matter how bad things get, that picture for me is a vision of something very exciting that is worth not giving up on." And I think, you know, once you understand why things or how things have become so limited and limiting, by looking at the dark side, you understand the power of what could be on the positive side. And I think that is worth getting into. I also think it's worth getting into the dark side so that you know how to avoid it. Because it's one of the greatest wasters of people's time and money is they don't know to avoid Madoff or how to make sure Madoff doesn't take everything. They don't know how to avoid Enron. So I think it's very, very important to understand the dark side so you can know how to avoid it. The fourth point, we believe in the long run that doing business with ethical, competent people pays. So, you know, oftentimes I get a call from somebody saying, "Oh, I think we can get a double in this stock." And I say, "I don't care. I don't want anything to do with it. The people stink." So that's why we spend so much time screening people for the Solari Report. And what you'll find is if you look at my time and the time of people helping as my production assistants, there's a tremendous amount of time vetting and getting to know people before you meet them on the Solari Report. Now, what I'd like to do tonight is introduce you to the resources and the archive by walking through the balance sheet and income statement. Because our goal is, as we walk through your balance sheet, to increase the assets in your balance sheet, reduce the liabilities and the risk, and increase the equity. And then obviously on your income statement, increase revenues or decrease expenses. And many of the different Solari reports that I'm going to talk about, some are cross-cutting. I could put them on your balance sheet. I could put them on your income statement. I'll only mention them once. But I wanted to do it in this context because I want you to see how everything flows back to this notion of helping you build equity. Okay, so let's go to your balance sheet and start looking at your assets. I break assets down between financial assets, tangible assets, intellectual assets, living assets, and spiritual assets. Financial assets, of course, that's my love, so that's where I'm going to start. The first thing you need, you need a good bank. We had an audio seminar we did in 2005. I tend to focus in the Solari Report on the deeper issues. And so it's surprising how many of these, so Where Would Jesus Bank, our first audio seminar on how to find a good local bank, was done in 2005. But in many respects, it's just as timely today, because when you focus on the deeper issues, they kind of don't change over time. Then we did a Solari Report, in fact, with the chairman of my bank, who's also my very dear second cousin. It's called My Bank, How Do I Find a Great Local Bank? And some of the chairman and some of the top executives of National Bank of Malvern, which is a community bank in Pennsylvania, which is Solari's bank and my personal bank. And that's available, of course, in the archives. So first thing you need to do is find a good local bank that links to the bank intimate page, again, which I said has a checklist of sort of the steps to go through to find a good local bank. In the financial asset area, I would say if you could only watch one thing after sort of figuring out where to get a great bank, would be to watch the streaming video of the speech I did in Mill Valley last year called Investment Strategies for Changing Times. And it's an overview of the critical issues of approaching investment in this kind of environment, what your chief risks are, and how to think and deal with them. One of the biggest risks I focus on in investment strategies for changing times is debasement, and one of the challenges in understanding debasement is the extent to which the official statistics are manipulated. We did a great Solari report with John Williams of Shadow Stats. It's called The Real Deal in U.S. Economic Data, and I really recommend that one to you and John's work to you, because having good statistics on what's going on in the economy is very, very important, and very, very important to understanding the real debasement that we're managing and dealing with. I did a series of two special Solari reports last year, June 16th and June 23rd, called Unpacking Financial and Investment Advice, Part 1 and Part 2. The first one I focused on financial advice. The second one I focused on investment advice. This was an effort to sort of sweep up everything I'd learned about how to access and use financial investment advice well. And we have transcripts, but if you are just approaching the challenge of how to become governor of your own assets and how to build assets, I think it's a great introduction to navigating a world where there's a lot of good stuff and there's a lot of not so good stuff. So unpacking financial and investment advice, that would be on the top of my list. For people who need great financial planning, we had in December 2010, we had Charles Murray, who's president of the American Institute for Economic Research, do a presentation and interview called Organizing Your Financial and Legal Affairs. And at the time, Charles offered a discount. So if you go to their website and put in Solari, I think it's still good, you can get a discount on a lot of excellent financial planning tools, how to buy a car, all sorts of workbooks and basic information on basic financial and legal affairs for those who want to do it for themselves. In 2008, I published an audio seminar, and remember, when you are a subscriber, you get not only all the back Solari reports, but we have 17 audio seminars that we did before I started publishing the Solari report. It's called Positioning Your Assets for Growth in Uncertain Times, and it introduces one of the key portfolio strategy concepts I use, which is breaking your investments down into global and local and liquid and illiquid. And it walks through a before and after portfolio. So, you know, here's a portfolio that's highly vested in the corporate markets and sort of in the financial bubble. And then so that's the before. And then you see the after, and it goes through some of the key issues to think about if you're trying to reposition into something that is much more solid given the environment that we are now moving into. A very old one, but a good one, Navigate the Falling Dollar, was a speech I gave in 2004, so it's both audio and video. It's where I introduced my concept of the slow burn, which has really stood the test of time, and there's certain just basic things, themes that you'll see started in Navigate the Falling Dollar, repeated in Positioning Your Assets for Growth in Uncertain Times, and then moving into Investment Strategies for Changing Times. If you only have time for one, I would suggest Investment Strategies for Changing Times. Let me mention some more in the financial assets area. For those of you who are interested in socially responsible investing, I did an audio seminar in 2005 called Is Socially Responsible Investment Hazardous to Our Wealth? And it talks about some of the pros and cons of socially responsible investing, which I think for those who are interested in ethical investment, it's important to understand. One of the things our subscribers are very interested in is any potential changes in taxes, particularly in the provisions related to IRAs and 401ks. And we have written a special report about that. It's called Proposals for Annuitization of 401ks and IRAs. And we track that regularly, particularly in the precious metals market reports. So that's a theme running through a lot of the things that we do, but it's often discussed in the money and market section. starting your own company is also, I would include in, as an important category within financial assets. We started with a wonderful audio seminar called Building Real Wealth with Franklin Sanders, which I just can't recommend to you enough. It's a wonderful discussion of how to think about building real economies without government money and bubble money, and it's quite wonderful, and reflects the knowledge and experience of sort of a lifetime of trying to do really useful businesses. We also recently did one with Peter Island in September 2011 on startup financing for the rest of us. Peter has the best book on financing startups that I know of, and it's a great introduction to that resource. And if you're ever interested in starting up a business or someone you love is interested in, that really is a must-get book. It's the best I've ever found in the market. And then we followed up on March 15th this year with the Comfort Call story, Organizing the Legal Structure for Your Startup, inspired by so many subscribers saying that they or their children were planning on starting companies. In that, we share a generic term sheet that we use to create the legal structure for a company called Comfort Calls, and it's in the Solari stock model of A-share, B-shares, where you can divide money or voting shares from non-voting shares and raise your capital in non-voting shares and basically keep control of the company. And so I think that discussion and that term sheet can save you a great deal of time in sitting down and figuring out a legal and capital structure for a new company. Fixed income markets, we tend not to focus too much on fixed income markets. We did do one on sovereign bond markets with Axel Merck, who's one of my favorite money managers in the fixed income space. I think he's very, very capable. And, of course, we just did municipal bonds with Joe Mizak, who's the top reporter in the municipal area. He works at Bloomberg. And then working as an investment advisor, I can tell you working in the markets takes a special kind of mentality. And we had, in February 2011, we had Stuart Thompson on the Bankster Mind. Stuart has a wonderful sense of the games that the market makers and the market riggers play, and I think he's got a marvelous newsletter. And that's one worth listening to if you're interested in the psychology of dealing with manipulated and rigged markets. We also have one on derivatives 101, engineering the slow burn, that I did in 2009, because occasionally we get subscribers who are very interested in understanding how derivatives work. We have gotten a lot of questions recently on coming out of MF Global on custodian issues, and so we're working on a special report, but that will probably be published by the end of this month or next month. So that's it for financial assets. There's more. Those are just the highlights. So there's a great deal of stuff there. Again, if I could only pick one thing to have you watch, it would be investment strategies for changing time, unless you have not found a good bank. And I just think that's so important to the health of your financial life. So if you haven't found a good bank, maybe you want to start with how to find a great local bank. Okay, let me move to tangible assets. We spend one Solari report every month, the second Thursday of every month, on precious metals. And as an investment advisor, my clients have tended to have fairly significant positions in precious metals. We're interested in every aspect of precious metals, whether it's physical or precious metals held in depositories or in ETFs, and that includes depositories and ETFs held in IRAs or just in straight non-tax-managed accounts. We did a special series because I think history is so important. Precious metals has played a critical role as sort of the keeper of accounts in the global economy between sovereign nations. And the politics around precious metals have been intense for centuries. It's not just something that happened recently. So I had Franklin do a series called The Top 10 Dates in the history, U.S. history of precious metals. And we packaged that as both an audio with a transcript. And I strongly recommend that one to you to get a sense of the history, particularly if you're going to be investing in precious metals and watching the geopolitics. So all of the Solari Report precious metals are described in a special library. If you go to your resource page, you can click over to the Precious Metals Report, and you can scan down and see all the different topics, and that can make it much easier for you to access the kind of information that you want. If you want a good introduction, the prices are out of date, but they're great introductions. We did two audio seminars in 2005, one investing in coins that Franklin and I did, and then one with James Turk investing in digital gold, and that's about gold money. We've also done a lot of special written Solari reports on precious metals, many of them in response to your questions and concerns. One was on GLD and SLV, which are the big gold and silver ETFs. It's called Disclosure in the Precious Metals Puzzle Palace, and it's one of the most popular things that Carolyn Betts, my attorney, and I have ever written. A second one that was a follow-up, everybody said, okay, well, if I shouldn't be in GLD and SLV, obviously I should put gold and silver in a depository. Where do I go? So we wrote Options for Storing Precious Metals, and that's a great introduction if you want to understand what are the issues of, what are the different kinds of depositories, what are the different issues to think about in terms of using them, what are the fee questions, what is, you know, how do you judge integrity? And so it's a great primer if you're trying to learn about storing precious metals, particularly, sort of offshore. Finally, we, as precious metals rose in price, there and people were interested in trading the gold-silver ratio, we found more and more people with questions on the tax issues if they wanted to move or exchange precious metals, whether from gold or silver or silver to gold, or from an unallocated holding to an allocated holding, as people got more concerned about the integrity of holdings at different kinds of institutions. And that's a pretty significant and serious one. It's the kind of thing that you want to give to your CPA if you're considering a different kind of exchange or switch in precious metals. And I think it can save your CPA a great deal of time in digging out all of the relevant issues on that topic. And finally, we did another one on the arguably the strongest ETF from a credit standpoint, the Zurich Canton Bank's gold and silver ETFs. We've had James Turk on a couple times, and he came onto the Solari Report in 2009 to give us sort of an update on gold and digital gold in the economy. We're working now. I have a special report that should probably come out not this month, but next month. It's called Precious Metals Still in a Primary Trend. And as precious metals have sort of not, we didn't get a strong year last year. Gold was up 8%. Silver was up or was down after a very strong year the year before. And clearly they've been sort of, trading in a channel, and they're weak right now. A lot of questions about do we believe that precious metals is still in a primary trend, which we do. And so I'm doing that to kind of organize all the issues and questions and answers in one major piece, so look for that sometime in the early summer. Energy, oil, and gas comes under the category of tangibles and commodities. We have done four Solari reports with Jim Norman on the oil card, including the one we just did late last month. Oil and energy is a very significant player on both your balance sheet and income statement. It's a big expense. It's a big component of a lot of the things that hit your expense budget. So it's energy is very, very important. We've also had Chris Martinson come on to talk about his course, The Crash Course. Chris is a believer in peak oil. Clearly, Jim Norman and I are not. But I do agree with Chris on the concept of peak everything, and I think the Crash Course does a marvelous job of presenting that and helping us understand the importance of tangibles in the, you know, sort of in the coming phase as the population continues to grow. One of the most important salary reports we ever did was with Adam Trombley. It's on Zero Point Energy. The publishing of Thrive, the documentary Thrive, has gotten many people interested in knowing more on Zero Point. One of the reasons I wanted to do the Zero Point Energy is one of my greatest concerns as an investment advisor about oil and gas stocks and investments is if you believe, as I do, that the oil price is manipulated to a much greater price than the market price, and you also know that such technology as Zero Point exists, it's very hard to have a lot of confidence in a high oil price, and it's one of the things I watch very carefully. Is there any risk that they could change the model out of a fossil fuel model? Because the minute they do, it's going to have a very dramatic impact, not just on the price of oil and gas, but on the price of everything. It's going to have a dramatic change in the economics of housing, a dramatic change in the economics of government, a dramatic change on the economics of transportation, just every aspect of life. And so where that politically drawn line is in terms of what technology is allowed in the model and what is kept out, that's a line that I watch very, very carefully. Finally, the ultimate tangible is your home and your land. We did an audio seminar in 2005 called Navigate the Housing Bubble, and the part one is the part I would recommend to you. It really goes into the extent of the collateral fraud and how the extraordinary mortgage fraud developed. The fraud we've dealt with in the last 5 or 6 years is not new. It's been building since right after World War II, believe it or not, and I tell the story. If you look at all the work we've done in the tangible asset category, whether it's precious metals or the oil card or the housing bubble, one of the things we've tried to help you do is to understand the extent of the what I call the collateral fraud or the naked short. In other words, the precious metals that everybody thinks they own is much greater than the actual precious metal sitting in the vault, or the oil price is much higher than a market price would be, or the amount of mortgages outstanding are far greater than the number of houses, and on and on and on. And it's one of the reasons that the centralized system is remarkably fragile. And as Jim and I were talking about last week, they have to win. They can't afford to lose because the leverage in the system is so mind-boggling that they can't afford for it to unwind. And I think one of the things I've really tried to do is to help people understand that by going through the extraordinary manipulations in these three different tangible markets. And yet, I know when I talk to subscribers, they still have a hard time getting their mind around it. But I think if you're interested in that area and you sit down and you listen to, and I would add in that Chris Powell joined us recently on the Salary Report to talk about the sort of the history of the evidence on suppression in the gold market. So if you go through what we've done on sort of suppressed technology, the manipulation in the housing market, the manipulation in the precious metals market and the oil markets, I think that will probably help you get your mind around it. Intellectual assets. Your mind, your data, your intellectual capital is how I divide this up. Your mind, if I could only pick one thing for you to listen to, it would be the interview we did with Adam Trombley on entrainment and subliminal programming and its relationship to financial manipulation. I strongly recommend that to you. The situation is far worse than most people know. But as my pastor once said, if we can face it, God can fix it. So I think it's very important for you to know that this technology exists and you need to protect yourself from it. We did a great interview with Dr. Nick Beckage on HARP. HARP has cross-cutting implications, not just to the clarity of your mind and the electromagnetic field, but geopolitics as well. But I put it under the mind category since I think you're having a clear and strong and healthy mind to me is absolutely essential to protecting and building your financial assets or any of your assets. So I tend to focus a lot of concern about, is your mind clear? Do you have a good map? I did an introduction in 2010, The Layman's Guide to Mind Control. Mind control is much more important to many things going on in stories than we think. Luckily, there've been a lot of Hollywood's done a great job of documenting a lot of what's going on in mind control, particularly mind control used in covert operations. So there's a lot available now to make it easy for this area to understand, which is one that makes people squeamish. That I've also included under your mind, but it's cross-cutting to many different areas, including your health and back to geopolitics. The series that we did on chemtrails, I did an introduction called Unanswered Questions About Chemtrails. And then after that, it was in 2010, we did a special report with Clifford Carnicom, certainly the very best expert on global spraying programs, a.k.a. chemtrails. And then before we did the special report with Clifford, we did one called More Questions About Chemtrails with Clifford Carnicom. And for the third and final big one, where he goes through all the hypotheses of what chemtrails may be about, we did a special transcript. And it's a remarkable interview and a great introduction. And I think if you don't understand chemtrails, it's very hard to get a good map of how our world is working right now and what's going on, although obviously there are more questions than facts available. Okay, so that's it for your mind. If there was any area I would encourage you to spend a lot of time on, it would be, I would listen to everyone in this category. I really would. I think they're some of the best things we've done. Okay, your data. You've probably heard me say, in a digital age, data about money is worth more than money. We did a great Solari report with Bob Sullivan on identity theft. I spent 2 years trying to figure out the best person in the country on identity theft. Finally chose one who'd worked for the Wall Street Journal. Right before she came on the Solari report, she got a job offer, had to suddenly ditch out on me, and then she said, well, after me, Bob Sullivan and MSNBC is the best. And so we got Bob. His books on identity theft are absolutely fantastic. His books on financial fraud are absolutely fantastic. Identity theft is something that is really a risk for every one of us, and so I encourage you to listen to that one. Then we had Catherine Albrecht in 2010, Are You Bringing Spy Chips Into Your Life? You and I are dealing, we are all dealing with extraordinary invasive data, and Catherine is a great explainer of that and all the different ways that spy chips come into our lives and sort of the data that we're giving up. And I think it's invaluable to understand these different invasive systems and shut them out as much as you can. We had, in response to subscribers' requests, we wrote two special reports on the census. The first was, what is the census? And then the second was, we got lots of requests to write something on what are the risks of not responding to the census. So we wrote quite a, I had Carolyn Betts, my attorney, write quite a tour de force on, you know, what are the enforcement risks if you don't answer the census. And those are both available as written special reports. You can access them from the resource page. Okay, in the category of, I would put this under your real deal map. So this obviously is a very long list, and I'm not going to go through. I'll go through it very quickly. If I could encourage you to read just one thing, I'd go back and read our wrap-ups. At the beginning of every year, we do a wrap-up and a look ahead, and it's a look at the big trends. We also do it quarterly, but I think the annuals, especially the ones that have great transcripts, the last 2 years have had great transcripts with lots of graphics. They're great overviews, and they really help you understand and look at the top trends. So I would absolutely read the annual wrap-ups, particularly for the last 2 years, and I think they can give you a sort of a great overview for your map. Some of the ones we've done in this area that would help is MyMedia, How do I know what's really going on? I had Alistair Thompson, publisher of Scoop Media New Zealand, one of my favorite journalists, just an incredible, incredible publisher, incredible media is Scoop Media. And that's really, you know, how to use the press to get the truth. I did one in response to many, many questions I got from subscribers. It was called Truth or Consequences. Is it possible to tell the truth without getting killed? So these are my formulas for how you can tell people what's really going on without, you know, getting too much, getting yourself killed. I think it's very helpful. I'm not a great believer in the collapse scenario, but I think it's very helpful to understand where collapse has happened around the world and live through those sort of scenarios. It's great for planning. It's great to understand. Dmitry Orlov came on in 2009 for an interview called Can Collapse Happen Here? He thinks collapse is very likely to happen here. But I think his writings helps you understand tremendously about how to think about collapse and how to build resilient systems, which are good no matter what you do. One of the best Solari reports we ever did is September 2nd, 2010, the National Security State and the Class of Civilizations with Richard Dolan. Richard Dolan is the person who really promoted the notion of the breakaway civilization. And I think it's an extraordinary interview. We describe his second book on the National Security State. And you know, that book is, if I had to give you a list of the top 20 books to read for the 21st century, that would be one of them. It's an extraordinary book. And just reading the first and last chapter, maybe 20 times, you'll learn more about what's really going on than just about any source. The current economic model is the central banking warfare model. I talk a lot about the importance of military and warfare to making the system go and making the economy and the reserve currency go. It's really America's core competency is war, and it's the basis of a lot of our economic blessings. At the same time, if you look at education in the United States, we don't do a lot of studying about war. We don't talk about war, and it's one of the reasons I did, in 2010, an interview with Dr. Victor Meyer from the University of Pennsylvania, who's published a new translation of Sun Tzu's Art of War. Talk to any spooky guy, it's their handbook. It's, you know, when I first got into the litigation, I can't tell you how many people who used to work for the CIA said, oh, well, you need to read Sun Tzu's Art of War. But it's a very interesting book, and it's a very important book if we're going to live in a global civilization defined by war, which is unfortunately what we're in right now. A great interview on the national security with Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, used to work at the National Security Council. A very prescient one in 2010 by one of my favorite geopolitical commentators, John Laughlin, Will the Euro Fail? Interestingly enough, a lot of people want to learn economics, and my pastor once asked me to write a curriculum for his high school students. We made an audio seminar to describe it. It's called Economics 101 in 2005. Some other great, both Solari reports and audio seminars with John Rappaport, one of my favorite people to have on the Solari Report. A great one with his latest product called The Matrix Revealed. We also just did one on Let's Go to the Movies, but we have an audio seminar called Introducing John Rappaport that's also very good. Finally, at the end of the last year, we had Peter Dale Scott on Deep Politics and The War Machine. His latest book, The War Machine, is very, very good, and a lot more insight into the relationship between war and the economy. Okay, moving on to living assets. Health and community is the sort of the two areas. We do a tremendous amount on health. One of my greatest concerns related to my clients' and subscribers' financial assets is that given the extent of the environmental pollution and given the extent of the deterioration in the food system and in the quality of water and air, we need to be thinking much more radically about investing in fresh food and in taking care of ourselves physically. So the amount of money that we should be spending on preventative health care is far greater than I think most people understand. I have people with very significant brokerage assets saying, oh, I can't afford, you know, fresh food. I can't afford to buy direct from the farmers. Or, you know, I can't afford that kind of preventative health care. You can't afford not to do that kind of preventative health care or get really, really high-quality food. So if you look at the food area, we've done a lot. We've had Sally Fallon on Nourishing Traditions. We had Scott Tips on Codex, which is literally the global scheme to control your food. We had Bertram Verhaag, who's done fabulous documentaries on GMO food. Dr. Gwen Scott on how to mitigate the harm to your health from chemtrails. Dr. Laura Thompson is my nutritionist, and she's been on several times talking about protecting yourself from vaccines or mitigating against radiation poisoning. She did right after Fukushima. We also had an attorney on to talk, Ellen Phillips, to talk about how to access vaccine exemptions. A great Solari report with Dr. Robert Lustig. We did it in September 2010, Sugar Addiction, Getting It, Ending It. Absolutely fantastic. It was Lustig's work. After the litigation, I was addicted to sugar, and it was infuriating because I just couldn't break it. And then a wonderful subscriber whose doctor had studied with Lustig just kind of gave me the system, and boom, within a week, I was off of sugar. It was amazing. We did one with Eric Tonesmeyer called From Permaculture to Profits. Permaculture is, and some of the things going on in the whole organic and biodynamic food area are just very, very exciting. And so permaculture is a great interest of mine, and I think something that can offer lots of opportunity for people interested in gardening or landscaping. We also did one on building your local food IQ with Gene Hamilton from NOFA, great organic farming association up in Vermont. So, and finally, we have a great compendium of great food documentaries. You can print it out from the resource page. So let's go to community. One of my favorite Solari reports was one we did with Jay Hughes, who's an attorney who advises wealthy families. It's called Family Wealth, the same as the name of his book. And it talks about how families can get together and organize to help each other be successful. And it's a wonderful book. I recommend it to everyone. Jay wrote it to help wealthy families keep their wealth going for generations, but I'm a great believer that the tactics that keep wealthy families wealthy can help families that are not wealthy become wealthy. And it's a marvelous book, and it's a great interview. We also did one in 2009 called Nuts and Bolts of Organizing a Solari Circle, and we included documentation on how to do a Solari Circle that's an investment club, or a Solari Circle, or when I say investment club, I mean a traditional investment club using a brokerage account to do securities. But we also created a documentation if you wanted to do a Solari Circle to do local investment. And we spent a lot of time with my attorney making up those documents. And I think if you're interested in forming a Solari Circle to do investment club or a Solari Circle to do local investment, I think those documents will certainly help inspire you to do a conversation and come up with something with your own attorney and local people. Also under the category of community, Dr. William Tiller in November 2011, Scientific Support for the Power of Intention. I think Tiller's work is very, very important, and I would combine it with one we did in early 2012, this year with Lynn McTaggart, called Rethinking Intelligence. And Lynn is a reporter, investigative reporter, and remarkable author on the question of how does shared intelligence work. And both Tiller and McTaggart give you a very, very different picture on the power of humans to shift and change things in positive ways that is unbelievably, it's just unbelievably exciting and will really restore your confidence that we can change things. In December of last year, I had Foster Gamble, the publisher and producer of Thrive, and that was also a very inspiring. If you take Tiller and McTaggart and Gamble together, they were also very inspiring because Foster's last part of the documentary is very much on how do we achieve solutions, and now he is basically, he and Kimberly are traveling the world engaging people in conversations on how do we really shift things, how do we start to move to a world where people can thrive. One a while back is Albert Bates on financial permaculture and transition towns. Another one I would put under community. Two more is Who's Your Sheriff with Sheriff Richard Mack, who really helped us understand the power of local enforcement. And I just think in terms of building community, understanding your local enforcement, working with your local enforcement, getting the right people in those positions can make just an enormous difference. And then finally, we talked to Jamie Johnson, who's a documentary filmmaker, who's made two wonderful films about the wealthy, and I called it Engaging America in a Real Conversation. And it's one of those, Jamie is just a very engaging, young, talented guy, and he's engaging the wealthy in one of the most blunt, honest conversations, and it really makes you realize, you know, we're not alone. There are people of great courage out there trying to do something. Okay, so let's move to spiritual assets. Spiritual assets, to me, get down to the questions of why are we here? How do we organize our time? And in a world gone mad, how do we get the energy and substance we need culturally and spiritually to really continue and make a difference? A couple that I would recommend to you, an audio seminar we did in 2005 called Getting Started with Coming Clean, and then a report, well, another audio seminar that I did with Franklin, because Franklin and I have lived through some pretty ugly experiences. It's one of the things we share. So we, during the time of Katrina, we made one called Building Your Lifeboats, Surviving and Thriving in Risky Times, and it was kind of our lessons learned from having to go through very hard times. I did one in 2010 called Catherine Reports Live from Switzerland, and a lot of it was about why I love the Swiss and what they can teach us about living through difficult times. Then finally, one of my favorite authors, Larry Gonzalez, author of a book called Deep Survival. That was a Solari report we did in 2009. It's just as relevant today. That is an outstanding book for anybody. It's I won't go into all the details, but it's really about people who survive extraordinarily difficult experiences and accidents in the wilderness. And Gonzalez distills it down to sort of 10 rules of thumb of what are the characteristics of people who succeed despite all odds. And believe it or not, it's absolutely transferable to any kind of difficult or stressful situation, and it's a very uplifting and exciting book. And so I recommend that interview to you because we go through sort of the 10 lessons. And finally, I just did a report called Living in Faith, and that's very recent. And that's where I sort of talk about what are the big issues that we need to face. Because you can't, you know, if you look at what our problems are financially in this day and age, they relate more to lawlessness and corruption and sort of financial coup d'etat than they do to financial problems. And when you're dealing in a world that is that, where change is happening that rapidly and things are going on that are that both extraordinary and can be that negative for you, it's very, very important to come at things with a very powerful and strong faith and to sort of deal with the deeper issues, which is what I tried to do in that Solari report. Okay, so that's it for your balance sheet. We've gone through your different kinds of assets. And I'm not going to go through sort of what liabilities are, but it's really the assets that are going to drive your equity. Let's turn now to the to your income statement. And as I said, many of the things I've talked about I've in the balance sheet go into different parts of your revenues and your income statements. One of the things you'll see if you go through positioning your assets for growth in uncertain times or some of the other audios we did on finances is I talk about the importance of looking at revenues and expenses on an integrated basis. You'll find some people living a lifestyle where they're trying to increase their revenues, but in fact it means they have little time and their ways of reconfiguring their lives, moving out of high-cost areas, or simply decreasing the amount of time they spend trying to make money and using that time in a way to decrease their expenses and ending up in a situation where they can save more money and certainly be healthier. So you'll see that as a theme threaded throughout all the work we do is focus on what increases your equity, not just what increases your revenues. I would say that I do have a prejudice on entrepreneurial skills. So, and one of the things you'll see is successful entrepreneurs to get to where they want to go need to go through long periods where they operate at significantly decreased personal revenues. And so we tend to focus a lot, therefore, on what you can do to bring your expenses down or certainly make sure you get what you pay for. The biggest waste I see in most people's income statement is not a financial expense, it's a loss of time, either because you continue to allow people into your life who play on a win-lose basis, or institutions into your life who play on a win-lose basis, or who invade your data and use your data in a variety of ways. So anything you can do to get those players out, whether they're, you know, bad dogs in your family or the wrong kind of big bank, but anything you can do to cleanse your life of dirty players or bad players or simply people who don't give you energy is one of the greatest wastes. A second is, believe it or not, stop watching TV. There's a great deal of time spent taking in misinformation from unreliable sources, and then having, as a result of that, making a whole variety of mistakes. Food and water, I won't go back and go through everything I said about food, but it applies here. There is, if anything, more concentration that needs to be spent on accessing fresh food and water and getting independent from corporate systems. And if you don't believe me, absolutely download that list of the top food documentaries and just start going through them. One of the things we focus on, again, in positioning your assets for growth in uncertain times and some of the other financial asset audio seminars and Salieri reports is how can you find ways of disintermediating your balance sheet so, in fact, you do more for yourself. So I'm always telling the story of the person whose yields were going down on her stocks and her water bill was going up, and so she sold her stocks and built a well. But anything you can do to permanently take over and create self-sufficiency and do for yourself is something not only that hopefully shrinks down in terms of your expenses, but then if we get a kick up in inflation or a decrease in reliability of the provision. So providing your own energy may look expensive until you realize if you head out to Portugal, they'll slap a smart meter on your house, and from then on you've got a surveillance device on your house that could harm your health. So let me just touch on the energy area. It was funny, I had somebody say to me when I first had Blake Levitt on the Salieri report to talk about electromagnetic fields and then the smart grid, he said, you know, you guys are all over the map. I thought you were about financial assets. And I said to him, Jeff, if you look at your income statement, your utility bill is one of your biggest investments over a lifetime. And if you're paying a fortune to the utilities, when in fact the prices you're paying are way higher than they need to be, given, you know, what Adam Trombley is telling us about zero point, and in fact they're putting meters on your house which are surveillance devices and are bad for your health. So you're paying money, and instead of getting what you're supposed to be getting, you're getting something that's much more expensive than it needs to be, and it's invasive of your privacy, and it's hurting your health. You know, that is a financial issue. And so I would encourage you to take a look at sort of what's going on in both the energy and the food area that would argue for greater self-sufficiency. Taxes is obviously a very important part on your income statement, and it's why we've written this special report on foreign financial assets. It was the hot topic in this tax season, and it's one where the failure to be compliant could be very, very expensive. It's another reason why throughout the Solari report we continually pound the drum on the fact that there is no privacy and you need to be impeccable on your compliance and the taxes, or if you're not going to be impeccable, you need to do it with a clear understanding of the potential price of civil disobedience on this issue. One other one on the utilities, we had Dr. Sam Milham on dirty electricity. Are you paying your utility bill with your life? Very good one. Okay, so those are some of the additional things I would put on the expense side of the income statement. So this is the walk through the archive. There's a tremendous amount of material there, and I would hope that that you sort of go with this, or you access this in sort of the order that it's useful to you. If you have any questions at all about how to find what you're looking at, I would really encourage you to post questions, send them into customer service, or post them for this Solari report. We want to make sure that it's easy for you to find what you want and you find those pieces that are the most useful to you. There's a great deal here, but I think that if you take the time to go through this and access this material, it will give you remarkable context to understand how your world works, and remarkable instructions to help you understand how you can ultimately be the governor of your own financial resources, which is ultimately my goal, that you are the master of your ship, and your ship is getting wealthier and wealthier. So I hope that introduction is helpful. But again, if you have any questions, please let us know. And keep us posted on what additional materials you would love to have us cover, because there's no part of helping you build up your equity that we're not interested in doing and we're not interested in providing. We'd love to give you everything that you think will help you get to where you want to go.